noise in it. Come on. Come on, you can make more noise than that.
Thank you, everybody. Let me get my notes here. So, first of all, thank you, Pastor Marty, for the kind words. He definitely has the gift of encouragement. You cannot be around Pastor Marty and be down. If you're ever in his presence, he has a way about him. Just make you feel good and make you feel positive. And so, Pastor, thank you for your kind words, and thank you for letting me share tonight. It's an honor and privilege to stand behind your pulpit. And I also want to thank all of you for coming tonight, because you guys know, I know, that you could have gone anywhere and done anything you wanted to tonight, but you chose to come to the house of the Lord and hear the preached word of God. And I pray a blessing over your life just because you showed up here tonight. And so I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to pray, and we're going to get right into it. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word tonight. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that came here. Like I said, Lord, I just pray a special blessing over their life for their obedience to come to your house. And God, I just pray for the next few moments that you just allow your Holy Spirit to fill this place. God, I pray that you open up our eyes and our ears. God, I pray you open up our minds. Above all, I pray that you open up our hearts and you would just bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I asked Pauly to put that up there, that first slide. The title of my message is Forgiveness. And I said, put that up there while I'm praying so when they open their eyes, they see it. God put this on my heart years ago to share on a Thursday night. But to be honest with you, I was still struggling with it. And I think it was more for me than it was for the church. And so I never shared this message on forgiveness because I was dealing with it. And I just want to, you know, acknowledge that I know that this subject that we're going to talk about tonight and this subject that's on the screen, it can make some people a little uncomfortable. Maybe some of you are looking up there and you see that word and you're already feeling a little uncomfortable. But I got to be honest with you. One of the hardest things I dealt with when I gave my heart to the Lord is forgiveness and forgiving other people. And in my notes, I said, I've seen, but I'm looking at Kathy, I'm looking at Pastor and all the other servants that are here and leaders. I'm going to say we have seen. So many people come to God and they begin to grow. They give their hearts to Jesus, they become saved, and they begin to grow, and they begin to grow in God and in their spiritual walk with Jesus. And I can tell you right now that nothing will put your spiritual life on pause like being unwilling to let go. Nothing will hinder your prayer life or stunt your spiritual growth like being refusing to let go, to holding on to a record of wrong or a past hurt. And sometimes when we think about the things that have been done to us, we have this sense like, I can't let go. We don't think we can because what they did to us was too great. And we refuse to move forward. I know you guys have probably heard this 1,000 times because it's shared a lot in church. When you hold on to unforgiveness in your heart and when you're unwilling to let things go, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You think it's hurting them, but actually it's really killing you. And when you hold on to this unforgiveness in your heart, and when you're unwilling to let go and clear the record, what happens is the person you're holding unforgiveness against actually has more control over you now than they ever did before. Because you know what? We all know it's true. Their life goes on. They move forward. And you stay stuck in a moment. And I see people here at the church all the time getting stuck in a moment. And as time goes by, their physical body grows. But inside, they stay the same. And their walk with God, it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And they say they stay stuck in a moment. And like I said before, I know that this subject can be very difficult for some people. And it can be tough to talk about. I struggled with this too. For my whole life, I was a very angry and bitter person. And there was a couple people that I kept a record of wrong on, and I refused to look past it. I refused to let it go. And that was my parents and God. I was angry at my father because he walked out on us when we were children. And I thought to myself, how could you do that to us? And I was angry, and I was bitter. And I was angry at my mother because she was a drug addict and she was addicted to painkillers. And I thought to myself, how could you do that to us? And then I was angry at God because I felt like he's dealt me a losing hand in life. I grew up broke and poor and on welfare. We didn't have the finer things in life. And I was angry at God. And so I know that this can be a very difficult subject to talk about. I'm fully aware of that. And so I want to move into this by sharing a story, and I'll start by saying this. How many of you here enjoy a free meal? There's nothing like, hands going up, right? Because there's nothing like a free meal. When the food is free, it smells better. It tastes better, right? You go into a restaurant, you find out that the bill's taken care of, and immediately you start looking at appetizers. You weren't looking at them before, but you're looking at them now, right? Because all of a sudden, things just changed. You went from not being hungry to being starving. And so I want to share a story with you. This is a real story. When I first started working here at City Church, you know, I was in here cleaning, and Pastor Marty came up to me with the rest of the staff, and he said, hey, do you want to come to lunch with us? And if you know Pastor Marty, he does not take no for an answer. You cannot tell this man no. And so I said no. And we went back and forth for a few minutes. And the reason why I said no is because I didn't have much money, right? And I was like, man, I got to hold on to what I got. I don't have any money. So we went to lunch, and he picked up the tab, right? But it gets better. So the next week, the same time, the same place, he came up to me again, and he says, come on, we're going to lunch. But this time I had no money, right? The week before, I had a couple of dollars, and I could have got something. But this time I didn't have any money for lunch. And I remember we're walking down the sidewalk, and I'm nervous, right? And I'm a little embarrassed, too. I'm like, man, because this guy don't take no for an answer. He put me on the spot. We're walking to this restaurant. I don't have any money. And so I walk up to him, and I say, hey, Pastor Marty, the reason why I said I didn't want to come to lunch because I ain't got no money, bro. And he was, oh, don't worry about it. This one's on me. And so we went, and we ate lunch, and when that bill came, right, he took care of it, right? It was a huge blessing to me. It actually totally blessed me that day because I'm always hungry, and to get a free lunch was just amazing. I was very happy. But there's another reason why I was so blessed, because here I was. I'm going to lunch, right, and I'm expecting this bill, and I'm expecting this payment with no money in my pocket. I didn't have the means to take care of this bill. And then when Pastor said, don't worry about it, this one's on me, it was followed by an immediate sense of relief. I felt relieved because I'm going to sit down and embarrass myself, right? So this immediate sense of release came over me, but it was also followed by a sense of joy. I was overwhelmed with joy because I love to eat. And so I was relieved and I was filled with joy at the same time because I'm always hungry. And man, I remember I ordered a turkey sandwich. It came with the chips on the side and it had a little toothpick and it put like grapes and some kind of fruit on there. Man, it was wonderful. It just tasted so good. I was filled with joy. Why? Because I realized that my bill had been paid. My bill was covered. The food was free for me that day. And that was a relief. And you know, that same joy and that same comfort that I felt when I ate that turkey sandwich is the same joy and the same comfort that God wants you to feel because you have been forgiven for your sins. You see, the Bible says that he has washed your slate clean, that he's forgiven you. But sometimes we freely receive this forgiveness that we ourselves are unwilling to freely give to other people. Sometimes we, the same forgiveness we freely receive, we are unwilling to freely give to other people. And the thing is when you refuse and when we refuse to freely forgive like God has forgiven us, it stops up the flow of God in your life. And this is what I saw personally working here at the church. It stops up the flow of God in your life, and it clogs up what he's trying to do in you and through you. And what happens is you stop to grow spiritually. You stop moving forward in your walk with God. And even after saying that, you're probably thinking, Chris, you don't know what I've been through, right? You don't know what happened to me. And the truth is, because I'm a real person, the truth is if I was to sit next to you and you were to share your story with me and you were to tell me about the hurt and the pain that you went through, I probably would agree with you. I'd probably tell you, dang, you're right. Forget that, dude. Or forget her. Have nothing to do with that. That's because that's my flesh, because I'm human. And I probably would agree with you because some of your stories are probably horrible. You've probably been through some horrible things and there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of hurt there. But I ask you just for a few minutes as we move into this message, just to stay with me. Don't tune me out. Don't turn me off. And I believe that if we allow Jesus into our hearts and allow him to look at that file, that he could put it away once and for all. And you won't have to carry that hurt or pain around anymore. Because the truth is God wants you to experience life and life to the fullest. He doesn't want you to experience death. He wants you to move forward into the new life that he has for you. Because a lot of you here today are carrying stuff from your old life. The Bible says when you gave your heart to Jesus, the old is gone and behold, the new is here. And some of us are here tonight carrying some of that old life with us. And Jesus wants to put that to death forever. And so I'm going to ask you this, and I don't want you to raise your hand or to answer or nod your head. Just think about this. Has anybody ever done something to you or to something to someone you love that you're struggling to forgive? Has anybody ever hurt you and you're holding on to that and you can't seem to move past it? Because, you know, sometimes it's not always what they did to us, but what they do to a loved one or a child, a brother or a sister or a spouse. Maybe it's something that it didn't happen to you, but maybe it's something you witnessed and it has stuck with you your whole life. Or maybe it is something that's happened to you. Like, I can't believe what you did to my mom. Or I can't believe you treated him that way. Because sometimes we hold on to offenses that aren't even ours because of something we heard or something we saw. But if we're ever going to experience life in Christ, we have to find the strength to forgive. We have to find the strength to let go. We have to find the strength to move on. And it's funny. It's crazy to think sometimes that when it comes to our own personal life and the mistakes and the poor choices that we make in life, we tend to look at our own flaws through circumstance, right? For example, like if you're at work and you're late for work a couple days in a row, immediately we would say something like, well, you don't know what's going on in my life right now. It's been really busy. I'm kind of stressed out. I got a lot going on. But if your coworker, if he shows up to work a couple times late, immediately, what do? We throw people under the bus. You're lazy. He's no good. Get rid of him. Fire him. We look at our own self through circumstance, but we just throw other people under the bus. We don't even take time. Like if your coworker, he doesn't finish his assignment on time, they must not be any good. They must fire him and hire somebody else. And if we're not careful, we'll spend our whole lives giving ourselves an out because of our circumstances in life, while at the same time attacking the integrity and the character of another person. We become very harsh and we become very judgmental. We assume that we know what they went through and we assume we know why they did what they did. And what happens is we begin to take the seat of God in somebody else's life. We become the judge and we become the jury, and we believe, we think, we know exactly what they should get and exactly what their punishment should be. Because we look at our own flaws through our circumstances, and we just look at other people like they're just horrible people. And so how do we do it then? How do we find the strength or the will to forgive those who have hurt us? And I'll tell you where it starts. It starts with you. It starts with us. In order for us to be able to forgive, we must fully receive God's forgiveness for ourselves. That seems kind of strange, but I think it's something that people never really do. They never fully understand what Jesus really did for them on the cross. Most people say, well, I did. I asked God for forgiveness. I received salvation. And they're absolutely right. They did. They were forgiven for their sins, and they have been born again. But most people don't fully understand what Jesus did for them on the cross. Most of us never fully embrace what he actually did and what he actually wiped clean and what he continues to wipe clean every single day. Brothers and sisters, I'm talking about what he makes white as snow. As far as the east is from the west, things that you experience on a daily basis, but we never fully comprehend what he actually did. And so I'm going to start with a verse, and it's Psalm 103, verse 8 through 12, and we're going to take a look at what Jesus did on the cross for you tonight. And Psalm 103, verse 8, it says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us." So I want you guys to do me a favor. Everybody say iniquities. Now say transgressions. Most people, they don't fully understand these biblical terms and what they mean. We hear the word iniquity and we hear the word transgression, And if you're not careful, you will miss that scripture entirely. You will miss what the Bible is trying to say to you. And so what is an iniquity and what is a transgression? An iniquity is your inward motivations. It's the things that go on inside of you that you think you only know about. It's the thoughts that you think, the feelings that you feel towards other people. It's your inward motivation. And a transgression is your outward actions. Those are the sins that you actually commit, the ones that you actually carry out. And what you have to realize is that people do not just wake up and automatically do bad things to you. It has to start somewhere. And it starts with an iniquity or your inward motivations. Maybe a negative thought that was entertained too long. Because how many know the enemy will play tricks on you inside of your head and he'll try to cause division between you and your brother, and it starts inside of you. Or something that was seen or looked at that shouldn't have been seen or looked at. Or something heard or listened to that shouldn't have been. And these inward motivation, these iniquities, if they're not taken care of, they begin to grow. And they grow and they eventually turn into transgressions, your outward sins, the sins that you actually do. Listen to what Jesus has to say about iniquities. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, just as Jesus talking, he says, if you even look at a woman with lust in your heart, you have already committed transgression. And so Jesus says, just thinking about it, just that inward motivation, that those thoughts that you're thinking, they're unclean, they're not good, and they're not from heaven. You have already committed transgression in your heart. You've already sinned. But I want you to take a look at Isaiah 53:5 and see what Jesus did on the cross. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And there's our words again, iniquities and transgressions, wounded. We know what a wound is. It's outward bleeding. Jesus, he bled outwardly for your transgression. But then it said he was bruised for our iniquities. We know what a bruise is. It's internal bleeding. It's blood pulling up underneath your skin. Jesus bled internally for your internal sins or for your internal motives. Jesus paid an internal price for your internal sins. He bled outwardly for the ones that you would actually carry out. Because we think about some jacked up stuff sometimes. And some of us, we're a little brave and we'll carry it out. And he says, I got that covered too. And most people never fully understand this. Some people think that God is holding this record of wrong against them, that he's keeping a tally on them. And when they mess up, they feel bad about going to God because they think God is like us and that he keeps a record of wrong. But that's not how our God works. He keeps no record of wrongs. Not only does he wash our sins away, but he chooses to remember them no more. He says he chooses. Now listen, look at Isaiah 53:25. It says, Even I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Right? The word remember in Hebrew, it means to name or to mention. It does not say that God forgets what you've done. It does not say that. It says that he chooses not to remember them anymore. So basically he's saying, I'm choosing not to bring it up. I'm choosing not to mention it or to even put a name on it. I'm just going to look the other way. Why? Because of his love for us. It does not say he forgets. But because of his love for us, he chooses never to bring it back up again. He doesn't just clear your record. He throws out the whole filing cabinet. Because if anybody knows me before Christ, they'll know I don't just have a criminal record. I got a filing cabinet. And Jesus didn't just wipe my record clean. He took the filing cabinet and he threw it out. It doesn't even exist no more. It's not that he forgot. He says, I'll never bring it up again, Chris. I'll never name it. And God says, he says, if you put your trust in me, not only will I forgive your outward actions, I will also forgive and clean up those dirty little iniquities that we all have, right? He says, I'll clean up and wash clean those inward motivations that are going on inside of your heart and inside of your mind. Because how many of us Christians walk around acting like we got it all together? But inside, we know our true condition. You know those things that you thought only you knew about? He'll wash those things away too, and he'll make you clean. When you're jealous or envious over the person sitting next to you, or when you hold anger or bitterness in your heart, he cleans those away too. When you think those horrible thoughts, you know those ones that you shouldn't think, or when you watch the things that you shouldn't watch or go where you shouldn't go. And Jesus says, I paid the price. You don't owe me anything. And Jesus looks at us in our most darkest and disgusting iniquities, and he says, it's paid in full. You don't owe me anything. He says, I cancel your debt. God has completely deleted our past and considers the matter paid in full. And until we can fully receive what God, what Jesus actually did for us on the cross, we can never from our hearts fully forgive somebody else for the wrong they've done us. We will continue to keep records of wrongs. We'll continue to keep a scorecard against other people until we fully receive what God did for us. And so first, you must receive God's forgiveness for yourself. And second, you have to clear the books. You have to let it go. I told you about how I struggled with my mom and my dad. And it was right here in this church where I had a breakthrough moment with this forgiveness thing. I didn't realize that I was carrying this around. And I do believe that that's why I made so many poor choices. I was angry and I was bitter at the whole world. And God said, Chris, clear the books. That's not who you are no more. You're not living there no more. That's gone. And I started to look at my situation with my parents and my childhood instead of through the eyes of bitterness and anger, but through the eyes of love. I started looking at my dad, whom I've never met, who beat my mom, with eyes of love, the eyes of Christ. And I started looking at my mom, and I realized that my mom struggles with something that is a big problem. That was addiction. And I'm not mad at my mom. I love my mom, but I'm mad at addiction. I hate addiction. And I pray for my mom, and I pray for my dad. If I was ever to meet my father, I wouldn't cuss him out. I wouldn't yell at him and ask him why. I tell him I love him and I forgive him. And then I'd share my testimony with him and tell him what God did for me, he'll do for you too. Because I don't carry any hatred in my heart anymore. You know what I was told? What I was told when I was growing up, when you were hurt, that you must forgive and that you must forget. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is a lie from Satan. Because we are not wired to forget. God designed and created us with a memory. We remember things. No matter how hard you try, we remember the things that happened to us. You can't forget. So forgiveness is not forgetting. Remember I told you that the Bible, it doesn't say that God forgets. It says he chooses to remember them no more. It's a conscious decision. So God is not saying, forget about what happened to you. Forget about what they said to you. He's saying, no. Just choose, make a decision not to carry it around no more. Forgiveness is saying, I'm clearing the books. I'm not going to carry this around with me the rest of my life. I'm not going to let this bother me anymore. I'm not going to let this stunt my spiritual growth and hinder what God is trying to do in my life because I'm angry at somebody else. Forgiveness is saying, you don't owe me anything. It's over. Forgiveness is saying, I'm choosing to remember this no more. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to mention it. And the last scripture I'm going to share with you is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. And now this is the Apostle Paul. And he's writing about love. And what real love is, what true love is. The Bible says that love is God and God is love and we are created in his image, so we should be filled with love. So let's look at what Apostle Paul says we should do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 5, it says, concerning love, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrong. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is love. Forgiveness is not keeping a record of wrong. And if you are here tonight and you've never received that, you'll continue to keep a record of wrong. You'll continue to carry this unforgiveness and this bitterness around in your heart. You'll never fully be able to let it go. You have to receive this for yourself. You have to realize what Jesus did for you on the cross. And Christ is saying to you and to me tonight, quit trying to be an accountant. Quit looking around the church and wondering what they did and where they did it at. Stop looking at your family, your wife or your husband or your children through eyes of suspicion. Stop accusing them of things and stop keeping records of wrong. Show them love. Look the other way. It doesn't mean it's okay, because it's not okay. But it's hurting you more than it's hurting them. And the Bible teaches to start looking at them through the eyes of Christ. Look at them through these eyes, the eyes of love, the eyes that keep no record of wrongs. A type of love that believes all things, that hopes all things, endures all things. A love does not seek its own. And if you can do that, if you can start looking at the people that hurt you the way Christ looked at you as he laid his life down on the cross, you will find the strength to forgive. Because you'll realize how much you've been forgiven for. And if you haven't heard anything, hear this. God will never ask you to forgive somebody more than he's already forgiven you. God has never brought me to a place where I had to forgive somebody for what they did more than he's forgiven me because I was jacked up and I did jacked up stuff. He's never asked you to forgive somebody more than he's already forgiven you. And I know it's hard. I know it can be difficult. But Christ wants us all to walk in freedom. And some of us here, we would look down on a criminal as you share a same cell with him. But who of us here tonight is without sin? Who of us here doesn't struggle with those inward motives, with those iniquities? If we're honest with ourselves, if we're truly honest with ourselves, we would admit, just like the Apostle Paul, that we are the chief of all sinners, that we're far from perfect. And I think we all can agree that nobody in this room would want Pastor Marty to get a hold of your iniquities. If Pastor Marty was to get a hold of your inward motivations and announce to the church Sunday morning and said, I got your iniquities, and I'm going to put them on the screen, every single person in this room would shudder with fear. Every one of you would be climbing that walls to rip the screen down in fear that somebody would see what is going on inside of you. But we don't have to worry because Jesus paid the price for that. But we still don't want him to see, right? I'd be jumping on Paulie. Why? Why, though? Why? Because we know our true condition. We know the condition of our heart. And it's so amazing that on our worst days and on our darkest days, Christ says, your debt has been paid. You don't owe anything. He looks at your darkest and dirtiest iniquities and he says, okay, paid in full. You don't owe me nothing. And I hope tonight we all come to a place where we realize we still desperately need Christ, that we are no better than any sinner or anybody who caused hurt and pain because we too ourselves are very imperfect. I hope we come to a place that you realize that you are no different. And I'll be honest with you, I'm very thankful for the life that Jesus gave. I'm thankful for the blood that he shed. And I'm thankful for the forgiveness of my sins. And I get a little emotional because I know my true condition. And I know I'm a wretched sinner. And who am I to judge somebody else for doing something wrong? And I'm thankful that he doesn't keep a record of my wrongs because I wouldn't be here today. Some of you wouldn't either. I've learned to forgive. I've learned to give second chances. I've learned to let go. Not because I want to, because I'm a loyal person and I dedicated my life to Christ. And what he did for me on that cross is something nobody could ever done. He gave me a new life. And he gave me a second chance. And so I've learned to let go. But what about you? Who is it that you need to clear the books? Who is it in your life that you're keeping a record of wrongs on? Tonight I want to challenge you to make a decision to clear the books once and for all. Get rid of it. Let Jesus work in you and through you. If you're holding on to unforgiveness in your heart, you've hit a wall. I'm telling you right now, I've seen it with my own eyes. You're never going to go and be who God's created you to be until you learn how to let that go. So let's make a decision together to let go of the hurt and let go of the pain. Let's make a decision to cancel that debt and consider the matter paid. They don't owe you nothing. And if you can't, and if you're struggling with that, let's ask God tonight if he'll help you with that. And so I'm going to close in prayer. I'm actually going to ask Pastor Marty if he'll close in prayer tonight. I want to encourage you guys, if you ever want to experience God in his fullness, you're going to have to learn how to forgive. I know it can be tough. I know it can be difficult. But when you have a hard time, just take a look at the cross and remember all that he's done for you. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. And you don't have to learn how to forgive just one time. You'll learn how to, maybe it'll be tonight, but you'll have to practice forgiving. Did you hear what I just said? It won't be a one-time deal. But if you practice unforgiveness, you'll build up walls around you that not even God can penetrate. And you have to forgive. And I know that message will never get old. We could preach on forgiveness every month. And you need to do that. Some of you need to forgive yourself. Thank you, Lord. Chris, come on down. Stand. Chuck, will you come over and stand next? Come with Chris. Chuck Wood, where are you? Come on down. Because I believe that tonight, this message is for all seasons. Sometimes we just need a little help in our lives to get through the pain, get through the hurt. Help us to make it to the next level in our lives. So just close your eyes. Just for a minute, I'm gonna pray, but then I want to open this up tonight. If that's you, I want to do some business here tonight. So if you want to tell Chris anything you're appreciative for him, do that after just a few moments, because I want to keep this available for people that are struggling and they're just having an issue with that. And for some, sometimes, just close your eyes and bow your head with me just for a minute. Sometimes we think we've come to that. We think we've forgiven. We think we've, you know, like we've mastered it. Just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed, just for a moment. A few years ago, you know, I'd gotten through, you've heard the story about my dad, the abuse, and I'd gotten all through that, forgiven. You know, I'd stand up at church, say I can't, you know, if he was here today, I'd hug him, and I'd share the gospel with him. And then I met this cousin of mine that's quite a bit older than me and begin to tell me how my father used to punch my sister in the stomach, who died when she was 11. And inside of me, all these feelings got all stirred up again. Like maybe for somebody here tonight, when Chris starts speaking about that, all that. And for some of you, you master it just pushing it down. I'm not going to deal with it now, maybe another time, but I sense the Lord saying, today is your day, that if you'll take that step, he will help you to live freer. Your life will be clean. You'll feel lighter. Spirit of the living God, thank you, Jesus. I know, Lord, that tonight someone here is going to breathe easier. They're going to live better. They're going to have freedom. Family member that's crushed them. Maybe somebody, a co-worker, a boss, a parent, a wife, a husband, a son, a daughter, a mom, a dad. Hurt is proportional. If you didn't love somebody, they couldn't hurt you. Father, tonight, I just ask that you would pour out your love on every life and on every heart, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we give you thanks for it. I give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You need prayer tonight? I want you to come down before you leave tonight, okay? I love you. Go in His grace. You don't have to tell anybody any details, nothing. Just receive God's word and receive His hand upon your life tonight. He sent His servant. He brought the word tonight. All you have to do is obey it now. I love you. Go in His grace tonight.